We wouldn't have anything without Jesus. Can you imagine what the world would be like today if it wasn't that we have Jesus, that there are believers in this world? There are so many unbelievers in this world. So much sinfulness, so much disaster, so much everything. It seemed like every day on the news we hear another killing, somebody else killing a lot of our police and different things. But oh, praise God that we have Christ, that we have a new life. Oh, I'm so thankful to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless the word today to our hearts. Father, we just thank you and praise you that you are our God. Oh, how we worship you, Lord. We're so thankful for Jesus Christ that he gave his life for us. Oh, and his blood was poured out on that cross and down. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you have done. We pray that you have blessed this sermon this morning, Father. Give us new courage and new hope always, Lord, in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I want you to turn with me to the 19th chapter of the book of John. And we're going to be looking there of Christ hanging on the cross. Praise the Lord. And we could say that Christ, you know, there are several passages of things that Jesus said when he was hanging there on the cross. He spoke to the man next to him when the guy said, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." He spoke to him. He said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." And all of the other sayings that you might think of here that the Lord said, we're going to begin reading with verse 29. It says, "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and they put it upon hyssop," that's a plant, "and they put it up to his mouth. And when Jesus there had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost." He said in Luke, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I commit my spirit." Praise the Lord. When he said it is finished, he meant that the work of salvation for all who believe is totally finished. Praise the Lord. He is the Redeemer. He is the one who has saved us. And oh, how we praise him for that. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He endured it all. He endured all that suffering. And he provided all for us. Think of that. He did it all. And he provided all. Hallelujah. Our salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. In the finished work that he did when he said, "It is finished." Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Every one of us here today should love Jesus more than anything in our whole life. We should love Jesus as number one of our life. And we go through many, many trials, but I'm telling you, the trials I've been through in my life, not going to tell you about them again, but I'm going to tell you that Jesus was always there. He was there to comfort me in my trials. He was there to help me whenever there was a trouble and get me through it. And I'd like you to turn with me now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews 9. Praise the Lord. The book of Hebrews written by Apostle Paul. And so many beautiful, beautiful things here that he goes into about Jesus. In verse 12 of chapter 9, he says that he's speaking of Jesus Christ here in verse 11. In verse 12, he says, "Neither by the blood of bulls and goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." You remember after Jesus rose from the grave that he told them not to touch him because he had not yet appeared unto his Father? Well, I believe that he in heaven, in the Holy of Holies in heaven, he was just declaring, I redeemed humanity. My blood has been poured out. In the olden days, the priest would take the blood and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat in the inner place, in that inner sanctum area, the Holy of Holies. And he would sprinkle that blood there. And Jesus Christ did that. And so in verse 11, we read that, Christ being come and high priest forever of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves. We don't have to be a Jewish person and go and offer animals. Isn't that beautiful? I'm so glad that God has saved us by his blood. Neither by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let me ask you a question. What does eternal mean? Something that goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. And our salvation does that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're going to read verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. Now think about that. They depended on those animals to make them right before God, to make God accept them. If they didn't offer an animal for their sacrifices, he would not accept them. He would not accept their offer. That was the Old Testament under the law. But they had to be very careful about the things that they had to do. But he says in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is what Jesus did for us. Much more. I like that. Paul uses those words in Romans again. Much more, much more. We have so much more in what we have in Christ, don't we? We don't have to be like the Israelites and do those things. We don't have to be like a lot of other people in this world that think that they have to do certain things. They've got to keep up on every kind of imaginable thing that they call them good works, in order for God to love them and for their salvation. But our salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, much more than just that natural stuff and that the Jewish people had to go through, all of this offerings of animals and all of that. How much more can we even estimate how much more it is? We can. It's so great. It's so marvelous what Jesus has done for us. Who through the eternal Spirit, notice that is a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicted us of our sins, that we needed Jesus in our life. The Holy Spirit is the one that encourages us and speaks to us. He's one of the triune God, the Holy Spirit of God. It was through the Holy Spirit that the blood of Jesus Christ has saved our souls and has given us this beautiful redemption. The Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. Jesus offered himself without spot. You remember in the Old Testament, the animal could not have a blemish, not any kind. Right now, Israel, I believe they're still looking, because just recently I thought, maybe they found their red heifer. You know, they believe they have to have this red heifer, and that's the ashes of that red heifer are used in their ceremonies and things. And that red heifer has to be absolutely perfect. And when they find one of those animals, they scrutinize it terrifically. But notice what he says here. Even though they have done that from the years and years and years back in the Old Testament, he says, it's not through the red heifer that we're born again or that we have this salvation. not the ashes of the heifer, but it's our beautiful Lord Jesus Christ that poured out his blood. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who was without spot to God, purge our sins? That word means to cleanse. He cleansed us of our sins. There's that little saying again I've quoted before. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be. He sees Jesus. Because I'm his child and you're his child. He loves you so much. He's your child, isn't that? His own child. You are his child. Glory to God. Who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience and of dead works. That's what the Jews have always done. There are a lot of dead works and very, oh my goodness, the rules of those sacrifices, how they had to do. You couldn't just run in there and worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. You never got into the Holy of Holies. The priest only got in there once a year to offer that sacrifice that was once a year. Can you imagine that? And we'd say, now you can't come to church for a whole year. You come once a year here. Isn't that ridiculous? We don't live in that age anymore. We come into the presence of the Lord Jesus at any time. He's always with us. He's in our lives. He protects us. He's guarding us. He's leading us constantly. I hope you feel that, because I do. I feel the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's with me. He's continually speaking to me. I hope he's speaking to you. Words of comfort, words of love. When things go bad, when people mistreat you, just look to Jesus. He's faithful. Glory to God. And so he says it's through the eternal spirit. He gave himself without spot to God, and he has purged us. He has cleansed our conscience. That's our mind thing, you know. From dead works, yes, a lot of Christians are going about doing a lot of dead works, and they think that that's what will save them. And some of them don't even include the method, you know, of believing in Christ. It's just you just be good, and you be good, and you'll be okay, you know. But this verse 15, and for this cause, because we have been saved and redeemed and to serve the living God, for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, it says, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Now the word testament there actually is the word covenant. See, God made an old covenant with Israel, the covenant of the law. And there was just so many do this and don't do that. And I mean, if you read in the Old Testament, beginning about in Exodus, and then just read through for several chapters there and books until you get through Deuteronomy, you see all of the things that were required by Israel. They couldn't just, as I've already said, they couldn't just walk in there and say, here I am, praise the Lord, start praise the Lord. That wasn't accepted at all. They had to bring an animal that was perfect. Even for the outer court, they had to have this perfect animal. There was so much to that. But for this cause, Christ has become the mediator. What is that? The go-between. He is at the right hand of the Father praying for us today. Right now, every moment of the day, he prays for us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? When you're in your trouble, when you have a trial, when you have lost loved ones, you whatever it is, the Lord is ever interceding for us. He is the mediator. He's the go-between between us and God the Father. Because of the blood of Christ, it has set us free to have this relationship with God our Father. We are his children. Isn't it beautiful? And so this new covenant that he made with us is not the covenant of law. As he says there, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant. We had in our lesson this morning, our Bible study lesson in Sunday school, he was bringing out about how that they had to do in the Old Testament and all of that. Like I've said, if you had a need or you had a problem or a sin, it wasn't just, oh God, forgive me, I'm okay now. No, it wasn't that. It was offering sacrifices, blood sacrifices, and sacrifice. What does sacrifice mean? It means giving up something that you want. They had to give their best animal. It wasn't an easy thing. Think how easy it is for us. Spiritually, it's so easy just to cry out to God. Nothing particular, but just really being sincere. Sincerely crying out to God. Hallelujah. So he is the mediator. And notice the word redemption. What does that mean? Well, they had a great day of redemption in the Jewish religion. That's when they offered once a year. The high priest would go into that holy place and offer the sacrifice, the blood there on the holy places to declare that they were forgiven for the year. But think of it, what has happened for us. Redemption means to pay a price. And Jesus Christ paid the price totally for us. We don't have to try to gain our salvation. He has bought it for us with his blood. Praise the Lord. Our part is to believe in that salvation, that we are born again, and he does redeem us and makes us new creations in Christ Jesus. And it's for the transgressions. That word is just our sins, all of our sins, everything that we've ever done and ever. We have a sin nature. We needed salvation for that too, didn't we? No matter whether we've committed a lot of sins in our life or not. He says that we're under the first law. They were under the law back there. Apostle Paul teaches us that we're not under the law, specifically says this. We are not under the law, but under grace. But as we are under grace and we walk in the Spirit and yield our life to God, we fulfill the law. We fulfill the law because it's Christ in us. As we yield to him, we fulfill the law. It's not an effort thing and gritting of our teeth. But he says the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, what's he talking about called? Every one of us here today are called of God. God spoke our name, and we came and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are the called of the Lord. We're called Christians. That's our name. Praise the Lord. We're called children of God. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. So we are the called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Glory to God. He has provided so much for us. Hallelujah. We're going to look back now in 2 Corinthians 5. Let's go back there. 2 Corinthians 5. This is just a very simple message today. But I want us to look at verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. He says in verse 19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing these trespasses unto them. He hath committed us to the word of reconciliation. I think all of us here understand what that means. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? We are part of the family of God. We have been born again. We've had the life, the Spirit of Christ in us. And many of us have the Holy Spirit in us. It's a wonderful thing. What a plan. What a great and marvelous plan. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He reconciled us. He changed us. And then verse 21, for he hath made him, it's speaking about Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. It's not speaking about us who knew no sin. It's speaking about Christ. This verse is not worded really well. We know that it's translated from the Greek, and the English people that did it didn't always get the words in the right order. But it's saying that Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We all need to just lay hold of that. We are in Christ. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Christ, in the body of Christ, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he who knew no sin, he is the only one that's ever in this world, ever born into this world, who had no sin. Adam had sin. Everybody else has got sin. We all have a sin nature. But Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and he had no sin at all. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So he has made him, Jesus the Son, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, praise the Lord, glory to God. Yes. Remember that in the book of Mark, you could read this later, but in the 15th chapter, it says that suddenly as Jesus was hanging there on the cross, that the world just got dark. The sky got dark, and there was great lightning and thundering. And that darkness, according to the scripture, went from 12 noon to 3 p.m. The 3 p.m. figure is the sacrifice called the evening sacrifice that was offered every day at 3 p.m. And Jesus hanging on that cross, dying for the sins of the world, the Lord just allowed it just to get black dark, just to show. You know what was happening at that time? God was turning his back on his son.
Yeah.
He turned himself away because he couldn't stand to look at the sin that he was carrying in his own body. Oh, my goodness. What a thing. In Matthew 27:51, it says, when Jesus had died, the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. This veil was very, very thick. It wasn't fragile. And God just, at that same moment, just caused this great earthquake to happen. And it just rent and tore that veil from the top down. No human being did that. It was God's hand from the very top to the bottom. Isn't that amazing? And what did that show? My son has died. And salvation is not by your going in here and offering sacrifices and all this stuff. The salvation has already been gained because the Son of God has died for the sins of the whole world. Just makes me want to cry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It says that the earth quaked and the rocks rent. Praise the Lord. They just tore because the Son, the Creator, was dying. How wonderful that is. Remember, 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Apostle Paul. That's because Jesus died and gave us life. Death does not have the sting that it did before Jesus died. There was a sting to death, but now there is not a sting to death. Even though we may grieve over the loss of a loved one, partially part-time, and hopefully we get over it for a bit. But, you know, Jesus did it all, didn't he? He bore it all. Hallelujah. Let's look in the seventh chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the seventh chapter. I was going to read a lot more here, but I'm not going to. In this chapter, Paul is talking about how that Jesus Christ is our great high priest, but he is not of the right tribe. The tribe of the Levites was the tribe where the high priest and all of the workers in the temple and the tabernacle before that all came from the tribe of Levi. Jesus Christ was born of the tribe of Judah. And we find that in the New Testament. I've always thought it was wonderful, and I've spoken to you a lot of times about this often, but Mary, his mother, she was of the right tribe. She was of Judah, and her lineage went back to one of David's sons named Nathan. So when God rejected the line of Solomon, you know, then Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, of the lineage of another son. Isn't that interesting? And Joseph, if he had been the rightful father of Jesus, he was also of the tribe of Judah, but he was a direct descendant from Solomon. So see, God just had the great plan, didn't he? Didn't have to make any mistakes or later say, oh my goodness, that didn't work, did it? No, he had it all totally planned. Hallelujah. And also, in this chapter, it tells us that so Christ was not a priest after the order of Aaron or of the tribe of Levi, because he wasn't from that tribe. But in this chapter, it names another man, and his name is Melchizedek. In Psalm 110:4, 10:1, it says that God would bring forth a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's Psalm 110:1. And so the prophecy was that. So God didn't make any mistake. He knew exactly what he was doing. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not only a king and will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he also is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the man who was Lord and ruler over Jerusalem at that time. It was called Salem. And so God chose that, and we're not sure about who Melchizedek actually is, whether he's human or if he's some person God had there, you know, some miraculous thing. But praise the Lord that the Lord had all of this ready in time. And so that's what this chapter is about. But we're going to start reading with verse 23, that Jesus is a high priest at the right hand of God right now praying for us. And verse 23 says, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered, that means they were not permitted, to continue by reason of death. They were just ordinary human beings. They would live for a while, and they didn't live real long in those days back there, but they lived for a while, and then they would die, or they would be killed, or whatever, you know, and they would pass off the scene. But verse 24 says, this man, he's talking about Jesus Christ, but this man, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So what is Jesus Christ doing right now? He's praying for us. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's seated on the throne there by his Father. He doesn't have his own throne yet. But one of these days, when that trumpet sounds, that first trumpet sound, Jesus Christ will be the ruler. For 1,000 years, he's going to rule on his own throne. Praise the Lord. But this is an unchangeable priesthood. He prays for us. He intercedes for us all of the time. It says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, completely. Jesus Christ is able to save them to the uttermost. And I want to tell you what that means in the Greek. It means full-ended or entire. Full-ended. This isn't a partial salvation. This is it. This is the salvation, the eternal salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us. It is unchangeable. There is no way it will be changed when we receive the salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. He saves us to the uttermost. Praise the Lord, that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever lived to make intercession for us. He's praying for us all the time right now. Wonderful. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us. In other words, he became like us. He became human being, that he would know how we feel. He knows what we go through, though he had no sin. He was a human being. He is holy. He is harmless. He is undefiled and separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity or sin, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus is so faithful. Hallelujah. He is working and for us all the time. Hallelujah. John 6:51 says, he shall live forever. Praise the Lord. He shall live forever. He gave his flesh as a sacrifice for the life of the world. We deserve to die for our sins. Praise the Lord. But he gave us life. Such a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said in John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believeth thou this? How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We believe it. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Hallelujah.